We associate high cholesterol with an unhealthy lifestyle, not eating the right food and not getting enough exercise. So it's a big shock when a fit and healthy 29-year-old suffers a heart attack and dies. That's what happened to keen footballer and young dad Mike Clark. He didn't know he was carrying a faulty gene which leads to abnormal levels of cholesterol. We hear from Mike's brother Simon and three guests who have set up a new service in Cheshire and Merseyside to carry out genetic testing for the condition and whose mission is to identify more people at risk from this invisible killer condition. The Innovation Agency helped to secure funding and provided programme management support to set up the new service. Hello and welcome to the Innovation Agency podcast, everyone. We're here to talk about a new genetic testing service that's been set up in Cheshire and Merseyside to identify people at risk of an inherited condition called, and I'm going to hesitate before I say this, familial hypercholesterolemia, which I'll call FH from now on. Is that okay? Thank you all for coming into our Innovation Agency studio. If we can start with some introductions, can you tell me who you are and what you're going to be talking about? Simon Clark, do you mind if we start with you?
Of course, yeah. So, hi, I'm Simon. I've been invited here as I am a patient and I have recently been diagnosed with FH.
Thank you. And Dr. David Olieski?
I'm a consultant chemical pathologist. I run the lipid clinic at Leighton Hospital. And Simon was referred to me a few years ago and I've been managing him on and off since, and I referred him for this FH genetic testing a few months ago.
Thank you. And Julia Finch.
So my name's Julia. I'm one of the specialist nurses at the FH service, and I was saw Simon through his genetic testing and provided his results, and we've talked about cascade testing to the family members, and really what I'm wanting to do is to try and get the word out there and get some GPs and everybody referring into us.
Great. Hopefully that'll be the result of this podcast. And Dr. Shirley Bowles.
Yes, I'm also a chemical pathologist and I also run lipid clinics, both at the Countess of Chester Hospital and also Arrow Park Hospital. I'm actually the clinical lead for this new service. It's something we've been trying to do for many years, and we're very excited that finally we've actually got started, even if it is currently only a pilot service.
Fantastic, and we'll hear more about that, and hopefully it'll become more than a pilot service. So if we start off with what is a very sad story, Simon, if you can talk us through what happened to your family and your late brother Mike, who died 10 years ago. Can you tell us a little bit about him first, how old he was, what sort of person he was before he had his heart attack?
Absolutely, yeah. So unfortunately, yes, we lost my brother in 2015. He was, up until that point, a very active, fit person. No indications of any health problems that we were certainly aware of. He had a son, has a son. He loved his football, and unfortunately, it was on the day that he had his heart attack. He was in the middle of playing football. So he noticed some chest pains, asked to be brought off after about 10 to 15 minutes into the game, which was very unusual because he was the kind of person that could just run and run and run and keep going. Unfortunately, he came off the pitch and went into one of the changing rooms and had collapsed after suffering from a heart attack. He was air ambulanced to North Staffordshire Hospital, where he'd confirmed he'd had a heart attack and had stents fitted. Following that, it was all good. All happy and healthy, bar the massive equipment that was plugged into him at the time. But otherwise, he was just back to his normal, happy, jokey self. After a few days, there was talks about him coming home following some tests. So he'd run, I believe, a fitness test. Ran 20 minutes on the treadmill about 4 days after having a heart attack. So otherwise, perceiving absolutely fine and on the mend. And then it was the following Friday, after that Saturday, that he was back at home, and unfortunately he had heart failure and passed away, and he was 29. So it was, needless to say, a very sad experience for our entire family. Obviously he had a son that was growing up now without his father, and obviously we were missing a key member of our family, so it was a very sad time for everyone.
And a huge shock, especially as he was such a fit and active person.
Absolutely, yeah, it sent ripples through our entire family for years and still has. You know, is a big hole that's never going to be filled.
At what point did you discover there'd been a genetic condition that led to the heart attack?
Well, we didn't know it was genetic. We'd always known there was cholesterol issues within our family. My grandma had high cholesterol, and my mum, we were aware of having high cholesterol, but at the time we believed it was all down to women, and that the women seemed to have this problem, and it wasn't really affecting the men for some reason, because my uncle was fine, but my aunties, my mum, my sister, all were suffering with high cholesterol, so we had no cause for concern that it was going to affect us. Obviously then, when this happened, my brother's cholesterol was very high, and it then followed up that we were all requested to be checked for cholesterol. It was noted that my cholesterol was also very high, which is where I then got referred to Dr. Eliski. And then it was only in the recent future that we've noticed that it was genetic. So one of my consultations with Dr. Eliski, he recommended the service as something to see if it was something genetically that's potentially affecting us rather than just high cholesterol. And that's where our introduction to the FH service began. Had some lots of lovely conversations with the service and got tested. And then late last year, I got it confirmed that we do have a genetic altercation in my genes. And what that's allowed is that my family are now being tested. And up till now, we're still waiting for some results from my mum and my aunties. But my nephew, so my brother's son, has now had confirmation that he does also have the genetic alteration, and at the age of 11 will be great for him to be able to know and get medicated correctly.
Did Mike have no warning sign that something was wrong with his cholesterol before it happened?
Not physically. So he didn't actually go and get a blood test to get it confirmed. However, up until, I don't know exactly how long before he passed away, that he had an eye test, and the they spotted something in his eye that specified that he might have high cholesterol or higher than normal cholesterol. But my brother being my brother, he didn't get it checked. So obviously hindsight is a magical thing, right? And, you know, in a scenario where we can get to go and live our lives again, we would definitely go and get him, make sure he got that checked. But other than that, in his normal day-to-day life, everything was normal. He noticed that he was getting more tired as playing football, or, you know, as days were progressing, but he put that down to getting a little bit older and his body maybe not reacting to sports the way it used to. No one had any indication that this could have happened.
Where are you up to now in the screening process in your family? Who's going through the screening?
So currently my mum has had her blood test and the results are just pending. Two of my aunties and my uncle have also submitted their samples for checking, and I don't believe they've had their results, and my nephew. My sister has also been referred to the service, so she is just waiting her results, and then pending the outcomes of my aunties, uncles, it will be opened up to my cousins and their children as well, hopefully, to identify if there's any issues going forward.
And your nephew, has he been identified as having the condition?
He has, yeah, that was identified last month, so he got tested towards the end of last year. Through, again, the referral from the FH service into the Manchester Hospital. And he's had it confirmed in January that he does have the gene alteration.
Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that. And your consultant, David Oliski, is with us. David, what are your reflections on what happened to Mike? And is it unusual for someone at his young age to die unexpectedly like this?
Unusual, but not rare. Because we know that this condition leads to premature cardiovascular disease, not just heart attacks, but also strokes and peripheral vascular disease. And it can come on at a relatively young age. Even if you only carry one of the genes, if you carry both the genes, it really is a bad condition, but that's very rare. And it varies, the degree of the condition may vary according to the genetic abnormality, because there are several. It's one of the reasons why we're keen to identify individuals with the condition. Any relative, first-degree relative, has a 1 in 2 chance of having the condition. So it's important to encourage family testing. Now, hitherto, before the genetic testing was widely available, all you could do was suggest that the first-degree relative had a cholesterol test. And while there have been structured schemes in some places, and I was involved with one when I used to work in South Wales, there hasn't been that real facility, and it requires infrastructure, not just in terms of the testing, but also in terms of providing the advice and support and organisation in order to deliver that service. So,
how are you helping Simon and his family to manage their conditions?
Well, the main role is, in terms of the lipid clinics, is actually to prescribe appropriate drugs to lower the cholesterol level. The lower the cholesterol, the lower the risk. And there are recommendations as to how much one should lower the cholesterol. There are some slightly different views as to whether it should be by an absolute level or the percentage reduction, but the main thing is to lower the level. And we now have available not only statins, which Simon has been taking for some years, but also certain other drugs like ezetimibe and some very more recently some very powerful drugs which are available on specialist prescription and given by injection. And which I'm now using in one of Simon's relatives, his mother. So that is the main thing that I can offer, is to, and also to, as I said, encourage the family testing. And we can now refer patients who've got a sufficiently high risk assessed by the Welsh FH score to the this new service.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Shirley Bowles, you're the lead consultant for the new FH testing service in Cheshire and Merseyside. I think it would be helpful if you could explain, first of all, what FH actually is and also why we need this service.
Well, I think in terms of why we need the service, I think Simon's given us a very good illustration of the potential problems of FH. As it's been said, FH is a caused by a gene alteration. There's As also David alluded to, there's quite a lot of different gene alterations, so it's not a case of just looking for one. But the importance of it is that if someone is affected by it, they have high cholesterols from birth, which leads to accelerated development of problems such as angina, heart attacks, strokes, etc., which all goes down to the process involved, which we call atherosclerosis, but people often call furring of the arteries. So that high cholesterol from birth accelerates that process. So patients with FH will develop heart disease often at a young age, not always as young as in Simon's family, but certainly it's agreed that patients who have FH who aren't treated, the men have about a 50% chance and the women a 30% chance of actually having clinical evidence of coronary artery disease like angina or a heart attack by the age of 60. The important thing is that it has a bad outcome or can have a bad outcome if you're not treated, but we have quite clear evidence that if it's treated early enough, you can almost eliminate that excess cardiovascular disease risk. So the idea is to try and treat people at a young age, and obviously Mike's son has been mentioned as being picked up at a young age. And that's the ideal, really, is to actually pick people up in childhood, and especially where there is this aggressive family history, to actually treat them effectively from that young age and hopefully prevent them having the problems that Simon's family have experienced. The issue has always been that although we can treat FH very effectively, statins are a very good drug, and as David has said, we have some more newer ones, which are also very effective, but we actually don't know who most of these patients are. So it's estimated only about 15 to 20% of patients with FH have been formally diagnosed. So we're missing a huge opportunity to actually treat these people and prevent them having the catastrophic outcomes that we've heard about. So if you look at a population of Cheshire and Merseyside, it's quite a common disorder, about one in 200 to 250. There could be as many as 10,000, 12,000 people with FH in our population, of which maybe only 2,000 have been identified.
So a lot of people at risk then.
So there's a lot of people at risk. So the idea of this service is to try and systematically find these patients and make sure they're diagnosed and treated. So the service starts usually with patients who perhaps already had a cholesterol level done. Some of them are already under the care of specialist clinics, but until recently we haven't had ready access to genetics testing. The development of the genomics program of recent years has allowed us to access genetics testing. So the idea of the service is that someone who's identified as being a potential patient with FH is referred to the service, and if it's considered appropriate, they have the genetic testing done. If they are positive, we can give them advice on effective treatment if they're not already being treated. But importantly, we can also reach out to their family members in the same way as has been done with Simon's family and test them. And obviously, the more testing you do, the more likely you are to reach younger people and children and get them effective treatment too. So that is the plan of the service. Obviously, we're just running as a pilot at the moment as a sort of proof of concept to show that the model we've set up works, that we reach patients and we effectively treat them and detect them and then treat them. We want to expand it so we can increase our capacity. We can, you know, push into helping the searches in perhaps looking at GP databases to find patients who previously had a cholesterol level recorded as high but have never actually been tested, so that we can, with the goal of actually trying to identify as many patients as possible.
Thank you, Shirley. If we bring in Julia now. Julia Finch, you're the FH specialist nurse running the service. And I know you're a small team, aren't you?
We're a very small team, yes.
Okay. How does it actually work? How do people reach you? Are they being referred by their GP? Do they self-refer? And what do you actually do in the service? What do you offer?
So we initially started, when the programme started, we probably started seeing patients on a regular basis from September last year. So it's a very new service. And there is just, we're very part-time. So, and we cover a large area. So at the moment it's a remote service. So everybody we see is dealt with by telephone contact. We got the initial flurry of referrals came from the lipid clinics, who had patients sat there waiting to come along for genetic testing. So that was an ideal starting place. And then we've also incorporated some education sessions and just reaching out to people to say, look, we're here, you can refer to us. We've always tried to be very open and you know, open for discussion. So even if people don't strictly meet our criteria, we try to say to professionals, look, you can contact us. We'll be happy to talk to you to give some advice. And there has been some recent activity in the GP surgeries around identifying people who potentially have FH. And that's part of their sort of ongoing, it's called a DES, but it's a sort of direct enhanced service. So they're looking to identify these patients proactively, perhaps, more so than they had done beforehand. So we are working quite closely. So in particularly in Liverpool, they've identified pharmacists who will look for these searches and send these patients to us. And again, we've engaged in dialogue with these patients, with these professionals, to try and encourage referrals into us. I have noticed, one of the things I've been doing is looking at where the referrals are coming from, and have noticed that we are starting to get more. So we started very much with the lipid clinics and the referrals, and we're starting to get more GP referrals through for the initial genetic testing. So when we've had a position like we've had Simon, where we tested him and found that he has this gene alteration, what we have tried to do is to make the service as streamlined as possible and say to all of the relatives. So we spoke with Simon about the relatives that were needing to come forward and consider genetic testing. We try to facilitate that by providing information to Simon to pass on, and we just accept a direct self-referral for these patients to come through to say, look, you don't have to go through a GP, we're happy to test you because we know what we need to test you for. We've had a few out of areas, you know, where perhaps their relative has been tested in Southampton, and again, we're happy to accept self-referrals from families where we know that there is a gene alteration in. Obviously, we couldn't do that for just people who have high cholesterol, because that would be quite a lot of people.
I assume you want more GPs to be aware the service is there and to be referring patients to you. Is there any additional workload for GPs in doing this? And what are the benefits for them in making these referrals?
Well, as Shirley has said, there are quite a significant number of patients that we know who have this condition that we can prevent cardiovascular disease. So, you know, there's the incentive to offer preventative medicine, proactively seeking these patients. So I think that there are sort of GP searches that have been set up that can quickly identify a group of patients that can be possibly considered for FH. And then out of that, they can look more closely at those individual patients to see whether they're more likely to come to us. And I know that our pharmacy colleagues who are doing these searches in Liverpool, you know, they are very good at picking out a group of patients and then looking at them more closely. And that is something that can be definitely spread across the whole of Cheshire and Merseyside. And again, we're happy to support people in terms of GP practices and saying, you know, these are the searches, this is how it works. And I think as Dr. Bowles has said, you know, there may be some case at some point, you know, in the not too distant future where we actually do some case finding alongside the GPs as well. But that's, again, it's an evolving service. So we're looking at what's working, what's not working, what else is needed to keep it going.
What do you need to do to make this more than a pilot, to become a permanent feature of the health service in Cheshire and Merseyside? What needs to happen, Shirley?
Well, there has to be an agreement that this is an important service, and there has to be an agreement that this is a service that's going to be commissioned, you know, in the long term as an ongoing service for patients with FH. So we're hoping that this early pilot will demonstrate that we are finding cases and that we are going to be offering people who hadn't previously known that they had FH the opportunity to be effectively treated and to find more cases than we would have done had they only just been looked after by the local surgery. Because, I mean, for example, even in the lipid clinics, I've been doing lipid clinics for many, many years, and there are patients who I've thought had FH, and I've tried to do family screening by, you know, giving the patient letters to give to their family members to suggest that they go and have their cholesterols checked, and variable success. But actually giving somebody a definite genetic diagnosis and having a service that's centralised where they can reach out to people directly to come and get the testing done is likely to be much more effective than just saying, oh, my mother's got high cholesterol, perhaps I should get checked. If I can say my mother has this particular disorder, I need to get checked, there's much more motivation and incentive to carry on and doing that. So it's just very important. I think I would also say that it is important to understand that not everybody with high cholesterol has familial hypercholesterolemia. Although it is a relatively common condition, there are a lot more people who do have high cholesterols. And there will be people who have high cholesterols and family histories of problems with their heart, which may not be FH. So there is a sort of filtering system to go through where we actually do have a system of screening patients. So we actually have an algorithm, electronic algorithm, which was based on the programme that's been done in Wales, which picks out the patients that are most likely to have FH and therefore are most likely to get a positive genetics test, because genetic testing is quite an expensive and, you know, not an easily accessible resource. So we have to make sure that we get the people who are most likely to be affected through the service. And so the referral to the service does involve that screening process, which is called the Welsh score. So we ask people to use that to make sure that we're getting the patients who have got the highest chance of having FH. As the capacity of the service, if it was a full service, as the capacity increased, we may be able to look at people who are slightly lower risk and find them. But at the moment, we're looking for the highest risk patients. And there are plenty of those, but there are also a lot more who don't have FH. And they may, we've got to make people realise that they may have a high cholesterol and not be referred to the service. And there may be good reasons for that.
David?
I was just going to add the other area where healthcare professionals can contribute is in the clinical biochemistry laboratory, because they report the lipid results, and people commenting on results can make a comment that consider familial hypercholesterolemia to alert the GP. The other thing that they can be done is to make sure that all the secondary tests for the secondary causes of hypercholesterolemia have been done, to make sure that those are dealt with and treated, because they're not going to be FH or unlikely to be FH, and those patients needn't be referred to the service. So there is a contribution that the clinical biochemistry laboratory can make in helping to raise the awareness of the condition that have affected diagnosis of in patients with high cholesterol.
And David, when people identify with FH, are they then managed back in primary care, or do you continue to see people in your secondary care clinic?
but it's a mixture. I try to optimize their management with standard drugs, and if we can get to target or what is a reasonably acceptable level, then that the patient, I discharge patients back to monitoring in primary care with the comment that we'll be pleased to see the patient again should you at your request, i.e. if there are problems in the future. And that actually happened in Simon's case. If they're on one of these specialist drugs that's given by injection that need specialist prescription initiation and continuation, then they remain under the clinic in the specialist clinic care. I also will provide advice to primary care practitioners to help them try to manage patients themselves. And recently I've tried to make them aware of this new service so that they can manage the patient themselves and yet still refer for genetic testing.
Yes, I mean, the model that we've set up in the pilot is that the patients who perhaps come, I mean, obviously some of them are coming from lipid clinics, so they may have already been managed, but the ones who are coming sort of fresh to the service who've not had previous treatment, the idea is that they will be managed in primary care, and we will provide sort of overall advice about the target lipid level they should achieve. And there is nationally accepted lipid guidance, which is available, and we would recommend treatment according to that. As the service is at the moment, that's the best we can do because we are, you know, a very small service. With a fully commissioned service and maybe an expanded service, the hope would be that even if we don't day-to-day manage the patients, that we could at least ensure that the management is done effectively, because obviously there's variable knowledge about familial hypercholesterolemia among primary care practitioners. And having given advice, having detected the condition and given advice, we would like to be sure that all the patients that have gone through the service are being treated optimally. So we would hope in the future that perhaps we could continue to sort of monitor patients and ensure that they are actually provided with the treatment that they need to get where they want to be. And if they are not managing to get that treatment, to get the appropriate referral to a specialist service. So that is something that would be a vision for the service in future, that we would support the management of patients. It may be that that won't be necessary, that the primary care practitioners can do it perfectly effectively, but there may be the odd patient where a bit more support is needed, and that's something we would very much like to do, that we make sure that having gone through this testing process that the patients get the best outcome.
And just as a rider to that, obviously patients who develop cardiovascular disease, heart attack or stroke, the targets are lower, so the situation and how much involvement secondary care may need may change, because there may be a need to add in additional treatment to get to lower targets.
Right, thank you. And Simon, if we can come back to you, it sounds as though you are saving lives, not only by going through the testing yourselves and making sure the wider family does, but also you're actually going out there to raise awareness of FH and raise awareness of the danger of having high cholesterol. And your sister has been particularly active, I understand.
Yeah, so my sister's done an awful lot of work since my brother passed away in trying to raise awareness of heart conditions, and specifically in the young people. And one of the ways that she's doing that is through a charity called Cardiac Risk in the Young, or CRY for short. So what she does is she fundraises for CRY in order to host screening days. So for people aged between 14 and 35, they can attend the screening days completely free of charge, and they will receive an ECG to see if they have any undiagnosed problems with their heart. And so far, she's screened 570 people. She's raised over £37,000 for charity in order to host these screening days. These are completely self-funded. These aren't available on the NHS. She's solely reliant on the generosity of people to donate to fund these screening days. She's done an awful lot of amazing work up until this point, and I believe she's wanted to keep going for the short time to kind of make sure that people in our area are getting checked and any problems are called out for them that, like I say, they might not necessarily have known about. I know that particularly has happened for a number of different people over the years that she's been doing these screening days. A couple of people have picked up problems that they were never aware of. Some have had surgery to prevent, you know, any long-term issues. So they are really useful, and she's done a great job. So I just wanted to make you aware.
Absolutely, yes. We should pay tribute to her and all that hard work. That's amazing. We'll put a link to her charity in the podcast notes for anyone who wants to contribute to what she's doing. That's brilliant. Thank you. Shall we end with some final words, a message you'd like to give about FH, why it's important to have the service, what you hope for the future? Simon, I'm guessing your parting words are going to be go and get yourself checked out. Check your cholesterol, check your heart rate.
Absolutely. Yeah, just don't ignore anything, you know, any possibility of any problem, make sure you go and get it checked out. And this service has been fantastic for me and my family. Like I say, with there only being a 50% chance, and a lot of members of my family is getting picked up that they do potentially have this alteration. My nephew being the big one, being very young. So yeah, the more people can get checked, the better.
Dr. Olieski, is there anything you'd like to add?
Just the awareness of the condition among medical practitioners in general. So when the opportunity, I'll raise that. As I said, my role as a chemical pathologist reporting results as well, as well as doing the lipid clinic to make and also I always mention about family screening to, I've always done to individuals who attend the clinic and their general practitioners. And now we have this FH service, which enables us to ascertain with much more certainty whether individuals at high risk do actually have the condition FH.
Julia?
Well, we'd like the referrals to keep on coming on in. We'd like the awareness of the service to be as high as it possibly can be. We'd like people to reach out to us and ask if they're unsure, if they're unclear what we're looking for, what we're asking. Please reach out to us as professionals, but also I think for empowering patients to take things forward. So if they're concerned about something in the family, that it can be discussed with their GP and perhaps encourage them to come forward as well and take an active approach in sort of their own care and where they might like to go with that as well. So yeah. Keep on coming.
And finally, Shirley.
Well, yes, I mean, I would reiterate everything that's been said around the table. I mean, obviously, we're really keen that this service is commissioned as a long-term service for the people of Cheshire and Merseyside. And we would encourage primary care practitioners to become aware of the possibility of FH, to refer their patients where it's appropriate. And if, you know, if patients know that they have a family member who's affected, to ensure that they take up the opportunity to have that testing done themselves, because it's not just for themselves, it's for other members of their family. So it could be, you may think it, you know, you're not too worried about it yourself, but you may have children and then subsequently grandchildren who you would want to have the best opportunity. Having been unlucky enough to get this gene, it doesn't have to be bad news. If it's picked up early, it can mean that you can have a normal life. And obviously, having heard Simon's story, that is so important.
A very good, positive message to end on, I think. Thank you so much, Simon Clark, Dr. David Olieski, Julia Finch, and Dr. Shirley Bowles.
Thank you.
There are links in the podcast notes to find out more about the new FH genetic testing service in Cheshire and Merseyside and about other Innovation Agency programmes to improve lipids management and prevent cardiovascular disease. Thank you for listening.